friends in the faith as we are strengthened by their genuine care for us and inspired by the examples they portray. Guide us, O God, this day in ways that we may honor not only during this time of worship, but may we also conduct our lives in such a way that we are worshipful in all we do and say. It's in Christ's name that we offer this prayer. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Please take a moment to greet your neighbors, please. Well, you know, I think we are without children as far as our children's moment is concerned, Kathy. So we will dispense with the children's message, and let me just move right into our prayer time here, if I may, please. In our prayers as we journey through the new week, certainly our sympathies extended to the family of Helena Edwards as we had her service yesterday, and I'm deeply grateful to the ladies of the church for their preparations for the dinner that we had here in the building afterwards. So please keep her son John and daughter-in-law Terry and other members of the family in your prayers. Over at North Kansas City Hospital, Jill Gregory is now out of intensive care and in a room, so that's a good measure of progress. Also, you know, most years, Harry and Jean Booth are down in Texas at this time, you know, basking in that 80-degree weather down there. But Harry started having some health concerns, and his son, Dan, went down there and picked up Harry and Jean and brought them back. And Harry is also at the North Kansas City Hospital. He is looking to have a heart valve replacement sometime this week. So please remember them in prayer. We'll try to keep you all updated on that with regard to the prayer chain as we move along through the week. Many of you know that Ada Blowers passed away about a little bit more than a week ago. I now understand that Bill Blowers has another room number to where he lives in the retirement community. So I've got that number if anybody is wanting to send cards to Bill. We lift up Carol Smith as she's recovering at home from outpatient surgery. We also want to remember Juanita Feltz and Sheila Killian, Catherine O'Neill, Michelle Jacobo, and certainly John and Dorinda Hoke, as they still are down in Florida. But yet again, John is dealing with this tumor behind his eye. So please remember all of those families in your prayers. And may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Merciful and loving God, it is with deep gratitude that we bow our heads in prayer this Lord's Day morning, grateful for the privilege to freely worship you without fear of retribution. We offer you thanks for the depth of meaningful relationships we are able to cultivate with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We offer praise for the guidance your Holy Spirit and your Word offers us every day. Merciful God, even when we are personally challenged by debilitating health concerns or the arduous difficulties of striving to make it day by day, may we be reminded of the words of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36, in which we are told that we need to persevere so that when we have done the will of God, we will receive what you have promised. And as James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 remind us, my brothers and sisters, consider yourselves fortunate when all kinds of trials come your way, for you know that when your faith succeeds in facing such trials, the result is the ability to endure. And even as we are challenged to endure the difficulties that confront us, may we remember that Colossians chapter 1, verse 11 tells us that we are being strengthened with all power according to your glorious might, so that we may have great endurance and patience. As we learn to endure graciously, O God, we recognize that we are able to offer insight and support to others in need, and we are especially able to be living witnesses of your abiding grace and love. Thus we offer this prayer, as we also remember the prayer Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And Judy, thank you for reading our scripture this morning.
Good morning. The scripture reading this morning is from the New Testament in Matthew 17, verses 14 through 21, and you can find it in your pew Bible on page 896 and 897. When they came to the crowd, a man came to him, knelt before him, and said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and he suffers terribly. He often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Jesus answered, you faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you? How much longer must I put up with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was cured instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? He said to them, because of your little faith. For truly I tell you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you.
So many families seldom sit around tables and fellowship in the ways that families once did. We find ourselves in a rush from place to place as we consume mountains of fast food. We find ourselves in front of screens absorbing the latest media production rather than appreciating conversation with those with whom we are sharing the meal. Yet the Bible tells us that Jesus was very deliberate in sharing the blessing of the Passover meal, which he transformed into the Lord's Supper, which we share every Sunday morning. As we participate by partaking of the bread and the cup, may we imagine ourselves communing directly with our Lord in prayer, as we also strive to make time to share meaningful meals with those whom we love as this new week begins. Our communion hymn this morning is number 423. We sing all stanzas of Become to Us the Living Bread.
Become to us the living bread, by which the Christian life is fed, renewed and greatly comforted. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Become the never failing wine, the spring of joy that shall incline our hearts to bear the covenant sign. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. May Christians all with one accord unite around the sacred board to praise your holy name, O Lord. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
As we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." May we bow our heads as Lana leads us in a word of prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to this table this morning on this very quiet, serene morning with the beauty of the snow and the winter around us. And we're reminded at that time of you and the peace that you provide us and the love that you provide us, the seasons that you provide us. And we're so eternally grateful for all of that. But we're more grateful for the eternal gift that you have brought us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And as we take of these emblems, let us be reminded every day of him being with us, no matter what, where, or when, that he's always there. And we're so grateful for that life that he lived for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning. Ruby, a young student in Harrison, Arkansas, gives credence to the text of Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6, that a little child shall lead them, as she has blessed many in the nursing home where her mother is the RN. Going from room to room, Ruby began asking the residents, if you could have three things, what would they be? Interesting enough, the humble residents didn't ask for that which is extravagant, but rather small items like a Dr. Pepper, an electric razor, a new pair of shoes. Even a can of Vienna sausage was high on the list for several residents. Small comforts to bless their existence. 11-year-old Ruby set up a GoFundMe page and donations started coming in for the newly found charity, Three Wishes for Ruby's Residents. But Ruby does far more than bless the residents with small comforts. Every time she visits, she warms the hearts of the elderly who are so very blessed by the welcoming hug and caring attention of a young person. Ruby inspires us all to remember that even the smallest of gifts are truly a blessing, and the blessing of friendship and genuine attention toward one another is cherished for a lifetime. Kathy leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you with humble hearts, grateful for the many blessings you give to us. Father, may we always remember as we give our tithes and offerings that we are only giving back from what you have so freely given to us. May these tithes and offering be used in a manner pleasing to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lord God, we pray that this offering is used for your glorious purposes now and always. In the name of Christ, we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we're grateful that our parking lot folks were able to get over here early today and kind of get everything cleared off, and I see that it may not look like it now, but earlier we got the walkways cleared off as well, just that it's kind of blowing around, so probably blowing back onto the walkways. But I noticed that the big pile of snow back there, in front of the building, it's getting higher. hasn't had any chance to melt down, has it? So it's reminding me of Nebraska, you know, this kind of weather. We haven't had a warm-up, have we? I think since when? December? Has it been since December that we actually had? Well, 40, yeah, but I mean, it's warmer. But hasn't it been since about late, maybe November, since we actually had something in the warm enough to really melt anything, right? It's kind of like Nebraska. If it's any comfort to you, Minnesota has had the snowiest February on record for the state's history, all of history. Our daughter-in-law. That's big snow for Willamette Valley, that's right. But again, you know, can you imagine when you're beating those kind of records? That's some serious, serious snowfall, you know, talk about umpteen feet. But Natalie's trip from Minnesota back to Colorado Springs was delayed by 3 days. And even when she did drive on Interstate 35, it still had snow on it. So we're not too bad off, really. May we pray. Merciful and holy God, we give thanks for the privilege to be in your house and to learn more about what the scriptures have to say to us. We know that even in the midst of our failures, we can find strength. For indeed, our greatest strength comes from you, our loving Father. It is in the name of Christ that we give thanks. Amen. I'm still laying some groundwork here about the apostles before we actually start talking about them. And today, we need to look at the fact that, you know, my goodness sakes, the apostles, they failed a lot, didn't they? You know, parents may often know the frustration of getting their children to take responsibility for tasks like they're supposed to. You remember some of the ongoing sentences that you had to repeat over and over again? Please put your dirty clothes in a hamper, not on the floor, right? Or don't leave your shoes lying on the living room floor. Somebody might, what, trip over them. Your backpack doesn't belong on the kitchen table or counter or whatever it is, you know, that's a sacred space that no one's supposed to put anything, but everybody does, right? You know, when Jonathan was growing up with me, I'm not sure who was growing up the most, him or me, but there were times I would repeat what I told him 3 or 4 times, and he would say to me, "Dad, you already told me that. Now, this is the 4th time you've said that." I said, "Yeah, I know, but I forget. You just remember all the time, but I have to remind myself." Right? But doesn't it get tiresome having to continually repeat yourself? Do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. But yet, when we look at Jesus' relationship with the apostles, we have to understand that Jesus had that same parental frustration. We've talked before about the fact that the apostles were likely in their late teens to early 20s. These were not 30-year-old men. Late teens to early 20s. Jesus was the old guy, being about 30. And you can imagine the impulsiveness and the way that teenagers and young men operate, right? And yet what we see here in this story in Matthew chapter 17 is that Jesus was really frustrated with the apostles' inability to kind of follow along with what he's offering them. What's happening in this story? Let's take a look. A father is convinced, as many would have in this time period, that his son, who has a dreadful illness, that the illness is caused by a demon. And the demon needs to be exorcised out of the son's body. In fact, the problems were so difficult, not only could he did he have the potential to be a threat to other people, but he was a threat to himself. Because in verse 15, the Father exclaims to Jesus, he often falls into the fire and into the water. You know, so imagine, time and time again here, the Father or others were having to rescue this young man in the midst of what we really believe was probably epilepsy. And you know that if you have an epileptic seizure, you don't have a lot of control over what's going on. So you could see out there, we're near a campfire. It would have been easy for the young man to fall into the fire. If they were near the shore, to fall into the water in this horrible seizure, and how difficult dealing with that must have been. The Father has immense faith, believing that the apostles had healing powers like Jesus. And this was in fact true. For in Matthew chapter 10, verse 11, the text tells us that Jesus called his 12 disciples together and gave them authority to drive out evil spirits and to heal every disease and every sickness. So, by the time this event takes place, Jesus had already instilled these powers into the disciples who were called the apostles. But yet, what happens? We see that when the Father asked for help from the apostles, were they able to deliver? No, they fail. They fail. Undaunted and desperate for a resolution to the circumstances that his son was facing, however, the Father was not deterred. He went then instead directly to who? To Jesus. And the text of Matthew chapter 17, verse 16 says, I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. And then we notice Jesus' exasperated response immediately afterward. Now, you know, we have trouble with this because we like to look at Jesus with rose-colored glasses. We think, oh, Jesus would certainly not ever say anything to anybody that would be abrasive or harsh. I mean, after all, Jesus loves us. That's what the Bible tells us. That's what the little song tells us, right? He loves us so much, surely he's not going to be harsh to us. But yet, look at the text here. Matthew chapter 17, the very first portion of the 17th verse. Jesus says, and this is not directed toward everybody who's in the audience watching what's going on. This is directed toward the apostles, as Jesus says, how unbelieving and wrong you people are. How long must I stay with you? How long do I have to put up with you? That's pretty abrupt, isn't it? Certainly for what you think should be the words of Jesus. How long do I have to put up with you? In other words, how come you can't seem to get your act together? How many of you ever said that to a child, a grandchild? Right? How long do I have to put up with you? And then Jesus takes matters into his own hands, much like he did in last week's story with the Pharisees, who were trying to trick Jesus with the healing of the man's paralyzed hand. Matthew chapter 17, latter portion of verse 17, and then verse 18. Jesus says, bring the boy here to me. And Jesus gave a command to the demon, and it went out of the boy. And at that very moment, he was healed. In other words, he was freed from those epileptic seizures, freed to live a life of peace and productivity. Oh my, what a relief that must have been for the father, and certainly even for the son and everyone in the family, or maybe even the entire village, right? For the purposes of our lesson today, though, we realize that the apostles had failed, even as Jesus had empowered them with the authority to drive out evil spirits and heal every disease and every sickness. So what is interesting to note, however, is how often scriptures reveal the faults and flaws of biblical characters. And here we see the faults and flaws of even the apostles being lifted up and just out there in front for everybody to see. What you must understand is that as far as how ancient literature was written, we're talking about during that Greek-Roman time period, when there was a major hero character, the literature would write about the greatness of the person, never mentioning faults or handicaps or difficulties or shortcomings. It is really a unique aspect about the Bible that we see not only the strengths of people, but we also see so many of their weaknesses. But this was not the only time that the apostles failed the test, was it? If you know some of the stories, you know that time and again the apostles failed to meet the expectations that Jesus set before them. Luke chapter 9, verse 46, the apostles bicker with one another about who would be the greatest among them. Don't you know Jesus was just sick and tired of that kind of arguing? But can you imagine again a bunch of late teens, early 20 guys bickering back and forth about who's the best? Yeah, you know, we do it with boys that age, do it with cars and, you know, physical prowess, you know, all kinds of things. You know, always competing with one another. But, oh, you know, Jesus must have just said, oh, my goodness, oh, this is just so silly. Luke chapter 9, verse 46, or excuse me, oh, no, that's the one I just mentioned. Matthew chapter 26, verse 26, we know that Jesus predicted at the Lord's Supper that all of the apostles would leave him. You will all fail, and you will fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. And sure enough, what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane? They all scattered as Jesus was being arrested. And you think that Jesus would want to just abandon them by this time? Wouldn't he? You know, oh my goodness, it's like, surely we can find some better recruits than this, right? Yet, what is quite remarkable is that in those latter chapters of the Gospel of John, chapters 15, 16, 17, there, while he is still with them at the close of the Lord's Supper, before he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, we have the most precious text where Jesus expresses his great love for these men. And he tries to give them some hints of what to expect. And again, they have trouble grabbing on to that and catching on to what's happening. But yet, he shows how much he loves them. If you look at the text of John chapter 15, verse 15, Jesus says, I do not call you servants any longer because a servant does not know what his master is doing. Instead, I call you friends because I have told you everything that I heard from my Father. Jesus appreciates the depth of relationship that these men offer him in spite of their shortcomings, right? But we must ask, why is it that Jesus is willing to accept us even in the midst of our shortcomings? Why? Because Simon Peter speaks of the thorn in his flesh that burdens him greatly, as in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. He says, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am really strong. You see, it's really in the midst of our own weakness that we are reminding ourselves that we are indeed human, but that our strength actually comes from who? Our strength comes from God, not from us. And I think that's why the weaknesses of the apostles are continually lifted up. Yes, they fail, and they fail miserably, but still Christ perseveres with them, and in fact they become great witnesses for the faith. But for you and I, are we so strong? Not really. We're very weak in many regards, are we not? But let us not be disheartened. Let us remember God accepts us in the midst of our weakness too, and wants to use us as we are, whoever we are. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 through 30. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast. It is because of Christ that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is, righteousness, holiness, and redemption come from Christ. So the next time you feel like, oh, you know, I just don't measure up, don't worry about that. Be mindful that God accepts you for who you are and welcomes you to be of service, for it is in the midst of our weakness that we are made strong. If you don't know Christ, maybe today is your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is your day to come forward and become a part of the fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. As we turn to our hymn of invitation, number 560, we're going to sing all stanzas of number 560, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. May we stand and sing.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. A reminder that next Sunday, after the services, we are to have the 100th birthday celebration for Roscoe Shipley. So that'll be a wonderful occasion. I also saw that on the long term forecast, they're looking like another chance for snow or whatever come Saturday, Sunday, if you haven't seen that. So anyway, we'll see what goes on. Again, we'll just see whether we have enough people for the board meeting after we finish the service. But we thank you for being present here in the Lord's house this morning. May we pray. Merciful and holy God, we do give thanks for the privilege to be in your house. Guide and direct us as we journey forward in ways that we hope bring glory to your kingdom here on earth. It's in the name of Christ we give thanks. Amen.
Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done in whom the world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. All praise and thanks to God, our Father and our Mother, to Christ and to the One who binds us to each other, the One Eternal God, whom earth and heaven adore. For thus it was, is now, and shall be ever.